Hello everyone, I'm Shreshta Sinha and I'm working as a DST Inspire Senior Research Fellow at School of Studies in Neuroscience and Zoology, Jivaji University. And I'm going to give you an idea about lipid mediators and mechanism of action of phospholipase A2. So this topic is part of our academic syllabus of MSc Neuroscience second semester. So let's begin this topic. So before starting this topic, one should have a thorough understanding about the lipid mediators. So how can we define lipid mediators? So particularly these lipid mediators, they represent a class of bioactive lipids that are produced locally through specific biosynthetic pathways in response to extracellular stimuli. They are exported extracellularly, they bind to the GPCRs, that is your G protein coupled receptors, and they are then sequestered rapidly through specific enzymatic or non-enzymatic processes. Now, because of these properties, lipid mediators, they can be considered as a local hormones or the autacoids. Now these lipid mediators, they are involved in many physiological processes, and their dysregulation have been linked to various diseases such as inflammation, infertility, ischemia, metabolic syndrome, and cancer. Now, the majority of the lipid mediators, they are the product of degradation and or phosphorylation, dephosphorylation of glycerophospholipids by the defined enzymes acting in concert and commonly designated as phospholipase, phosphokinase, and phosphatases. Right. Now the question is about the excitable membranes. Now the excitable membranes, they maintain and modulate the substantial transmembrane ion gradient in response to various stimuli, and this particular efficiency of the excitable membrane, it requires the presence of ion pump, transmitter receptors, and other associated proteins. Now, the cellular membranes in the nervous system, they can be divided into the two according to the higher or lower content of the PUFAs that we called as a polyunsaturated fatty acids in the phospholipids or in the neurons, in your glia, and in the endothelial cells of the cerebrovasculature. So the two types, it can be your more fluid membranes that we observed in the cells of the gray matter, and second is your more rigid membrane that we observed in the oligodendrocyte plasma membrane that spirals around the axons to form the myelin. Now there is another important term that we called as a lipid rafts. So lipid rafts, they are particularly the microdomains which are enriched in cholesterol and sphingolipids. Now these rafts, they have been described, isolated, and their chemical composition studied in specific cellular compartment of the nervous system, that includes your dendrite as well, where they are associated with the specific postsynaptic proteins. Now, interestingly, there are the subtypes of lipid raft also, which vary by their resistance to detergent extraction, density, their raft marker protein, that is your TH1, THY1, and caveolin. Now, the next important heading is about the excitable membranes, how they maintain and modulate the substantial transmembrane ion gradient in response to stimuli. Now, particularly for this function, there should be the active presence of the ion pumps, your neurotransmitter receptors, and other associated proteins. Now, there are the several proteins that have been found segregated in the microdomains that include your GPI. GPI is what? It's your glycophosphatidyl anchors, that is your GPI anchors, then your signaling proteins. Now the proteins that are interacting with the actin cytoskeleton, and the proteins which are involved in the cell trafficking and endocytosis. Now the normal density of your synapse and your dendritic spines, it seems to depend on the lipid raft, since the changes in your cholesterol availability modify the rafts and in turn the properties of your synapses and your spines. Now the next heading is about the specific lipid messengers. They are cleaved from the reservoir phospholipids by phospholipase upon activation by various stimuli. It means that there are the various stimuli, likewise your neurotransmitters, your neurotrophic factors, your cytokines, membrane depolarization, ion channel activation, and number of other factors as well. Now these lipid messengers, they regulate and they interact with the multiple signaling cascades that particularly contribute to the development, differentiation, function, protection, and repair of the cells of the nervous system. So under physiological condition, the balance of membrane lipid metabolism, particularly that of arachidonoyl and docosahexaenoyl chains, favors a small and tightly controlled cellular pool of AA, that is free arachidonic acid, and docosahexaenoic acid, that is your DHA. But their level increases very rapidly upon the cellular activation, cerebral ischemia, seizures, and other types of brain trauma. So what we can conclude from these lipid mediators till now, like they act as a double-edged sword, means they have a important role in physiology as well as in the pathological conditions, right? So we can call them as a dual messengers, means they have an important role in maintaining the cellular differentiation, development, function, protection, or in the other hand, in response to any stimuli or in any pathological condition that leads to the release of the number of the free lipid mediators that further contribute in your cellular activation, ischemia, seizures, and other conditions, right? Now, next thing is about your phospholipase A2. Now, this phospholipase A2, it catalyzes the cleavage of the fatty acyl chain. Now, this PLA2 family that we called as a phospholipase A2 superfamily, it consists of 15 groups, which is further housed into the 5 generalized types. Now these 5 generalized type includes your first, that is your secreted or secretory PLA2, second is your cytosolic PLA2, third is calcium independent PLA2, fourth is lysosomal PLA2, and fifth is your PAF, that is platelet activating factor acetyl hydrolysis. So these are the 5 important generalized types of your PLA, that is your phospholipase A2 family. Now, that cleavage, it occurs from the second carbon of the glycerol backbone of phospholipids. Next, these SPLA2 catalysis and CPLA2. So, what you need to remember here, that S stands for your secretory PLA2 and C stands for your cytosolic PLA2. So, your secretory phospholipase A2 and your cytosolic phospholipase A2 translocation requires calcium ion for membrane translocation and is synergistic with the glutamate induced neuronal damage. So we have already studied about this glutamate induced excitotoxicity that lead to the cellular degeneration as well. So before that glutamate excitotoxicity, these PLA these cytosolic and secretory PLA2, these are the contributory factors which leads to the degradation of your phospholipid, and after their degradation there is a release of your lipid mediators like your arachidonic acid, your DHA, your platelet activating factors, and your so on. Okay, now this ischemia induced activation of PLA2, it causes the alteration in the mitochondrial function by a rapid increase in the brain FFA. What is FFA? It is a free fatty acid pool size that lead to the reactive oxygen species formation that we called as a ROS formation, right? So what we can conclude here, that ischemia, it's a condition which induces the activation of your phospholipase A2, and that activation will further lead to the alterations in your mitochondrial function, and that alteration will cause the rapid increase in your free fatty acids in your brain, and that further lead to the reactive oxygen species formation, which ultimately will lead to the oxidative stress. Now, the cleavage which occurs from the second carbon of the glycerol backbone of the phospholipids. So, this is about the basic mechanism of the phospholipase A2. Likewise, okay, what are the phospholipase A2, what are the different families of the phospholipase A2, and how they contribute in the release of your lipid mediators. Now, if we talk about the inflammation in the nervous system, so the inflammation in the nervous system, it particularly differs from those in the other tissues, and if the blood-brain barrier is broken, your blood-borne inflammatory cells, likewise your polymorphonuclear leukocytes, your monocytes, macrophages, they invade the intercellular space, and glial cells, they get activated, and particularly your microglia cells, which are the immunocompetent cells of your brain, they get activated, which play an important role in the inflammatory response. So the inflammatory process in your brain is differ from the inflammatory process in the other organ of your body, because once your blood-brain barrier is broken, so there are the number of the blood-borne inflammatory cells. They initiate the various pathological process, and there are the play an important role in the inflammatory response. Now these responses, it also lead to the neuronal cell injury and death. Now in addition, ischemia, seizures and other form of injury, it upregulate lipid signaling in neurons, mainly through your NMDA receptor, that is your N-methyl D-aspartate type glutamate receptors, and as a consequence your PLA2 is activated, your arachidonic acid is released, eicosanoids and PAF, that is a platelet activating factors, they are synthesized, and COX-2, that is a cyclooxygenase activity, is induced in the neurons, right? Now these activation of the arriving inflammatory cells plays a role in initial defense against injury, removal of cellular debris and a longer term repair wound healing of the nervous system. Now the several lipid messengers are released from these cells and may participate in the beneficial action. Okay. Now these phospholipase A2 catalyze the cleavage of fatty acyl chain from the second carbon of the glycerol backbone of phospholipids. There are the variety of phospholipase A2 we have already discussed now. Now the pathways that leading to the PLA2 activation are part of normal neuronal function, ischemia reperfusion enhances these events, and overproduction or overproducing of this PLA2 derived lipid messenger such as enzymatically produced arachidonic acid and docosahexaenoic acid oxygenation derivatives and non-enzymatically generated lipid peroxidation products and other ROS, all of which may be involved in the neuronal damage. So what does it mean here? That is the pathways that lead to that activation of cytosolic phospholipase A2, it's a normal process, like it's a normal physiologic process, but in response to any injury, here we can consider the case of ischemia reperfusion that lead to the enhancement of these activation, means enhancement of the phospholipase A2 activity, which further lead to the overproduction of the lipid messengers. Likewise, your arachidonic and your DHA get overproduced, and there is a non-enzymatic reaction also which lead to the increase generation of the lipid peroxidation products and the ROS generation as well. So these factors, both enzymatically and non-enzymatically, will contribute in your neuronal damage, right? Now this intracellular PLA2 types, they are located in your cytosol or in non-covalent association with the membranes and consist of calcium dependent types. Now the calcium ion dependent phospholipase A2 with a preference for polyunsaturated fatty acyl chains is involved in bioactive lipid formation. The membrane translocation of cytosolic PLA2 to endoplasmic reticulum and nuclear membrane is mediated via specific calcium dependent domains similar to those seen in protein kinase C, phospholipase C and GTPase activating protein. Now this site is consistent with that of other enzymes of arachidonic acid metabolism such as prostaglandin synthase, also termed as cyclooxygenase 1 or 2, as well as 5-lipoxygenase and its activator protein. Now the catalytic activity of cPLA2 is stimulated by phosphorylation catalyzed by the mitogen activated protein kinase that we called as a MAPK. Now next is about the secretory phospholipase A2. So they are of relatively low molecular weight and they have a high number of disulfide bridges, making them relatively more resistant to denaturation. The mammalian secretory PLA2, it can be divided on the basis of the amino acid sequence into the several groups, and that include the pancreatic or group 1 secretory PLA2, the members of which function in the pancreatic secretion, smooth muscle contraction, cell proliferation and fertilization. And second one is your group 2 PLA2 and the members of which function in inflammatory response. So both have been found to be expressed in the nervous system as well, right? Now next, there are the high affinity receptors that bind secretory phospholipase A2, that is your M type and N type. So M is for muscle and N is for neuronal. So the M type and N type receptors, they are structurally pharmacologically distinct. The M type consists of a single approximately 180 kilo Dalton subunit, and it binds both OS1 and OS2 secretory PLA2. Now, this N-type is composed of three major polypeptides of 34, 48 and 82 kilodaltons and binds OS2 and B-venom as PLA2 but not OS1. Now, the M-type receptor has been cloned from rabbit and human tissues and independently from mouse and bovine tissues. It mediates group 1 secretory PLA2 cellular action, and the potential ligands for this N-type receptor may be the group 2 secretory PLA2 induced in rat brain during the ischemic condition. Okay, so this is about the some basic theoretical knowledge about the secretory, about the phospholipase A2, means what are the function of your secretory phospholipase A2, what are the various receptors and what are the difference in between your secretory and the cytosolic PLA2. Now, the important thing is about the mechanism of action of these phospholipase A2. So, generally, as we have discussed about the glutamate induced excitotoxicity or glutamate excitotoxicity. So, particularly this glutamate, it binds to the NMDA receptor, and as a consequence, an influx of calcium ion occurs in the postsynaptic neuron. Now, this calcium mediated activation of cytoplasmic PLA2 results in the release of arachidonic acid, that is your AA, your docosahexaenoic acid, that is your DHA, and your lyso-PAF, that is your lysoplatelet activating factors. So, this lyso-PAF is particularly a PAF precursor. Now, although PAF, it has a very short biological half-life, on repeated stimulus, sufficient PAF accumulate to diffuse back across the synaptic cleft. Now, what happens when there is a glutamate release, means in excess release of glutamate, this glutamate, it binds to your NMDA and will lead to the influx of the calcium ion. Now, this calcium ion mediated, this calcium ion then will mediate the release of your lipid messengers, likewise your AA, your DHA and your PAF. Now, this AA, DHA will again have an important role in maintaining the signaling networks, and they will promote your neuronal maintenance and survival. But what happens when there is an extra release or the overproduction of these lipid mediators? So, that is further will contribute in your oxidative stress through your reactive oxygen species and will lead to the neuronal death. Okay. So, as we have discussed that they have an important role in both physiological and pathological condition. So, generally acute pathological insult is neuroprotective in nature, whereas the chronic will result in the neuronal cell death. Okay. Now, this cell surface PAF receptor antagonist, it confer the neuroprotection through your ischemia reperfusion and inhibit PAF induced glutamate release from the hippocampal neurons and CA1 LTP formation, that is your long term potentiation formation through the same mechanism. Now, the inhibitory effect of this antagonist on glutamate release could account in parts for this neuroprotection in the ischemia reperfusion. Next is the secretory PLA2. It may be released from your presynaptic terminal, and the SPLA2 binding sites, they are present in the neuron, and SPLA2 promotes the active arachidonic acid remodeling in the neurons in the culture, and it also promotes your DHA release. DHA may also be released by cytosolic PLA2. Free DHA may be subsequently follow enzyme-mediated oxygenation pathways and lead to the synthesis of docosanoids. Now, messengers, which are made in the retina and brain. Now, free radicals would accumulate during oxidative stress, and downstream lipid signaling modulate the neuronal function and survival. Synapses are ultimately surrounded by astrocytes, which express their glutamate receptors, and that remove the excitatory neurotransmitter from the vicinity of the synaptic cleft. Now, astrocytes, they also respond to the prostaglandin by releasing glutamate through a calcium-dependent mechanism. Okay, so this is all about the basic understanding about the lipid messengers, what are their important function, and how your phospholipase A2 will trigger the release of the various lipid messengers, and what are the subfamilies and the subtypes of the phospholipase A2. So, I would like to recommend Neurochemistry by George Siegel for this particular paper. That's all. Good luck and thank you.